This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This podcast is proudly in association with HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a subscription-based meal kit company that delivers amazing recipes straight to your...
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Door. On the app, you'll be able to choose your weekly recipes to meal plan your week. They deliver fresh ingredients straight to your door to make the recipes that have carefully been selected. With step-by-step recipe cards, there's no need to be a chef to cook delicious meals. You have full flexibility on what meals you get and when you get them. It's easy to add extra portions, change recipes, modify your delivery time, or pause your deliveries. We are also delighted to offer a 60% discount to West Ham fans on the first box and then a 25% discount on the following 2 months when you use the code WESTHAMWAY in capital letters. So download the HelloFresh app or visit the website www.hellofresh.co.uk/WESTHAMWAY to get these delicious, easy to make meals sent straight to your door. HelloFresh, dinner is solved.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. It's another thrashing, this time from Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. We talk about that shambles on Sunday, bizarre post-match comments, a passionate rant from TC, the potential new gaffer, Luton Town on Saturday, and what the atmosphere will be like before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. Another shambolic performance, this time against Chelsea. Give us your thoughts on that shower of shit.
Well, that exactly that, mate. What more can you say than what you just said there? It was just a terrible performance, wasn't it? I mean, we didn't play well. The players were disjointed, defensively really poor, as per usual. See, we hit the crossbar three times, so on another day the score could have been slightly different, but on the whole we just didn't seem to be interested, and it just seems to be that it's that end of season, new manager going, nothing to play for type lull that we're in now, and it's just annoying that we've got two more games to get through, really, because it'd be good if the season could be wrapped up now. Disappointing, really. You know, you'd always think that against Chelsea, regardless of whatever the current circumstances are, you'd put in a performance, but we didn't. And disappointing, really.
Yeah, it's disrespectful to the fans, I think, that travelled, albeit it's only across London. But, you know, we've seen it too many times this season from West Ham. And it was diabolical on Saturday. We just literally rolled over, didn't we? The players didn't care. A good 2 yards off the pace, wasn't on their toes. No intent, no hunger, no desire, no quality, really. I know what you mean about the hat-trick of hitting the crossbar, but it was just terrible. And I think... Do you know what? I think a lack of leadership was evident again. And we've seen that a lot this season. I mean, can you imagine Billy Bonds or Julian Dix putting up with that shit? And I just think, as human beings, I can't believe they didn't have more pride than that. And like I say, they just rolled over. Absolutely inexcusable. And when questioned about that performance, Moyes gave another tactical masterclass when breaking it down.
We're playing too many attacking players. Maybe we've got too many attacking players on the pitch at the moment. Maybe not enough defenders. Maybe we're a team who have to be a more set up and a more defensive set up. People want us to play our best players, which we're trying to do.
Too many attackers on the pitch. He's having a laugh, isn't he? I think his head's gone, mate. I really do. And judging by that disgraceful performance on Saturday, the same can be said for the players as well. X, I know you're going to cover this in your section, but we desperately need a change now, don't we?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And do you know what? In a way, I'm quite, in a way, pleased that result happened, because whilst I had already said on last week's show, you know, even despite the Liverpool result, that I felt it's time for a change, and I've been going that way now for the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks, there is an element of me that does still question what is realistic at West Ham. But based upon that performance yesterday and the way that, you know, Moyes is just saying silly things in a press conference, you know, we had too many attackers on the pitch, or we didn't score a goal. You know, it'd have been all right if we'd lost the game 6-5 or something, but we didn't score a goal. And he's saying we had too many attackers on the pitch. And yeah, I just think it's time to go now. It's Dan, it's coming. The end like this, like I wish it had been a bit more on a sort of decent level, and you know, it had been a bit more with respectable results behind us. But it is time to go now. The fans have bought into the fact that we've got a new manager. Clearly, the club have bought into the fact we've got a new manager. I'm guessing the players have as well. So it is time for him to go. I hope we can get a couple of decent results at the end of the season. I hope we can, you know, get a win against Luton, and then anything but a thumpy against City would be good. And I think, I hope he can go out on a decent level. But I think the fans are two against under the bridge. A new manager is the time now. I mean, we're going to talk about it in my section. I think we know who that new manager is, whether that manager is the right person. You know, I don't want to write him off before he's even started, but the time will tell on that one. Whether we'll see David Moyes back for a third spell, who knows? Who knows what can happen in the fairy tale that is West Ham? But I do think that David Moyes' instalment 2.0 has run its course now, and it is time for a new manager, yeah.
Well, our defensively minded manager that sacrifices attacking football for the sake of clean sheets has now conceded 70 goals this season, which is just one less than Avram Grant when we got relegated, which is quite astonishing, really. Moyes was asked a question as to why we are conceding so many goals, and he said this, which must have been nice for Edson Alvarez to hear.
There have been a few of these big away defeats this season, which didn't really happen in previous years. Why do you think it's happened this season?
Declan Rice. You get the best midfield player in the country, protecting, making sure that the moments at times, probably limiting 50% of maybe the attacks in the moments, and you get that, then it makes you a much better defensive team.
What do you think of that comment?
Ridiculous, because Declan Rice left us in the summer, and we've already been talking about how well we've done without him. Moyes has already been quoted at saying, yes, we miss him, but we've bought really well, and Alvarez has been a great replacement. Yes, he didn't play well yesterday, and of course, he isn't in the same league as Declan Rice. You know, Declan Rice is one of the greatest players in the world, I hate to say it, but in his position, he is, and you saw that in Arsenal's game on Saturday. But Edson Alvarez is a good player, and he is a good player for West Ham and has done well this season. So, again, that comment is not needed. Declan Rice left us a long time ago. We can't start making that excuse that Declan Rice leaving is the reason we're now conceding. You know, we've been conceding regularly all season. If it was Declan Rice, he would have known that in January. He should have signed someone in January to try the gap. The problem is that we have centre-backs that aren't pacey enough, that are too injury-prone, and that we haven't had a consistent pairing all season. We've had Nguyen, it's a combination of it, Naif and Nguyen. We've had Nguyen that's been off form all season and pretty much made it quite vocal that he doesn't want to be here. You've got Ogbonna that's 35, you know, you can keep him as a backup to come on for maybe 10 minutes, but to rely on him, you can't. Zuma, who's got no knee and can barely run, and that was exposed massively on that fifth goal. And then you've got Mavropanos, who on his day does well. On his day, he's a decent centre-back, but again, too inconsistent and not adapted to the league completely yet. We need two possibly three new centre backs in the summer. We need a new full back as well. Whilst I think Chaffel can do a job, he can't do a job against a pacey winger. We need to be able to alternate. We need another left back because, aside from Emerson, you know, we haven't got the cover there. And we just really need a complete reshape. And this is why the appointment of the new manager is so important, because this manager has not only got to, you know, continue a good job that David Moyes has done on the whole, you know, he's got to keep us in the sort of top half and be competitive, but we've also got to rebuild an aging, depleted squad. And it's a big, big task. And appointing a 57-year-old that's already achieved a lot in his career wouldn't necessarily be my choice. But this is looks like the option that the board are going with. And this is what we've got to get behind now. And when people said, be careful what you wish for, with David Moyes, I'm not saying that, because that's a strong comment. And we don't know what the new manager's going to do. And it is the right time for David Moyes to go. However, I'm not exactly sitting here completely convinced that we're making the right appointment to replace him either. So we should see. Time will tell on that one.
I'm a bit worried about that. I mean, there has been a bit of a backlash about this new manager, isn't there? And again, I don't want to step on your toes with the section, but do you kind of understand why that is? Because I'm not saying he's been absolutely overwhelmed with success as a manager, but he's not been a disaster as such, has he? I mean, why has there been such a backlash from certain sections of the fan base? Do you know?
No, I mean, I don't think it's a terrible appointment. I'm not sitting here going, oh my God, what do they see in him? I mean, let's be honest, what they see in him is that he's got Premier League experience, he's done well at the top level, and he's free. That's the ultimate thing, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's not mince the facts. The fact that he's available to start without compensation means there's minimal gamble. You know, if he comes in and he doesn't do well, they could put something in his contract that basically means they can get rid of him quite quickly as well. That's the reason he's got the job. I think they would have taken other managers over him had they been less, had they been more cost effective, like Almiron, for example. But I think the backlash is harsh. You know, let's be honest, he's managed Real Madrid, he's managed Spain, he has a good record at Spain. I think he's managed the Spanish under 21 teams. I think he's done 18s and 17s, maybe. So he's got experience of youth, plays decent football. Seville were good under him. You know, they played good football under him. He isn't a terrible manager. He's been linked with Milan and Bayern Munich. How concrete those links were, I would beg to differ. I would say that that's probably strategic agent work in the press, but obviously Milan fans felt that he was going to go there to do a petition. I think a petition is harsh. I think we just have to get behind him. At the end of the day, the people doing the petition are the people that wants to get rid of Moyes. So they were saying they'd get rid of Moyes under any cost. So this is what's happening now. So I think it is harsh. I think there's better appointments out there. Personally, I would have thrown everything at Kieran McKenna. Now, I think that that's a big gamble, of course. And people will say, but he's not managed in the Premier League. He might not be able to do it in the Premier League. Maybe not. But the same can be said for lots of managers. Unless you take a gamble, the evidence you have on him is that he's 37, so he's young. That he's worked at Manchester United, so he's got the experience of playing for and managing at a big club or coaching at a big club where he got promoted under Mourinho. So Mourinho obviously saw his talents. He's taken Ipswich up 2 years in a row. So he can only do what's in front of him, and he's done that. He's taken a big team out of League One, which, you know, isn't always as easy when you've got the biggest team in the division, because people raise their game against you. He's played young players. He's brought in good players on loan from bigger clubs, and he plays a good style of football. They were the most attacking team in all of England last season in terms of goals scored. He would be the person I'd be looking for as a long-term project. He's from London. You know, he was at Tottenham for a bit. I hate to say that, but he was. But I think he could have been persuaded to go from Ipswich. Of course, compensation and wages would have been something that I don't get when you invest money in players, 50, 60, 70 million, and you won't spend 10 million on a manager, which is the most important position in a football club, surely. That would be where I would go. That said, I'm going to back the new manager because we have no other choice. There's no point being negative until we know what the situation's going to be. We can all say we don't want him, but as soon as he's appointed, he is the manager. So, my guys, you've got to back him.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, mate. I mean, I'm not sitting here overwhelmed with excitement, but then again, at the same time, I think we're well overdue a bit of positive energy. And I can't write someone off before he's even walked through the door. I mean, it's just madness. So, of course, we have to get behind it. But what I will say is two things. Firstly, for me, absolutely 1,000,000,000% Moyes cannot stay at West Ham for different reasons, and we've covered him a million times. He cannot be West Ham's manager next season. At the same time, if this new manager comes in and it goes tits up, ultimately because David Sullivan wouldn't pay the compensation for a better manager, that will be unforgivable. And I would 100% understand the protests as and when they happen, because you just can't do that. You're absolutely right. It's the most important part of a football club outside of the owners is the manager. So why would you not spend 10% of what your transfer budget would be on the most important person? It just doesn't make sense. So I don't know. Time will tell.
To me, the obvious thing here is this is what I've alluded to on previous podcast mates without being as black and white as this. We're always going to be in this situation when we have David Sullivan as chairman. Now, I'm not even sitting here saying it's been a disaster for West Ham, the chairman. When you look at where we are, the fact we've won a trophy, the fact we've got a big stadium, the fact we are saying we should be competing in the top six every season, I think that he has actually, in some respects, done a good tenure as chairman of West Ham. However, whenever it comes to an appointment like this, which is why I was always sceptical about whether we should get rid of David Moyes, because he did it when he appointed David Moyes, is that more often than not, apart from with Pellegrini, and again, he, as I kept saying, he's burnt his like hands with that now, because he got scolded by Pellegrini and all the money that cost, he won't go back on it. So now we're always going to get the cheaper option, whether that option was the right option. Now, I think the guy is, I think, being harshly written off, and he's not as bad as people are making out, and we've got to trust that. However, let's be honest, he has got the job mainly because he's out of contract. That's the reason. If he was Real Madrid's manager now, or I mean, obviously he wouldn't leave Real Madrid for West Ham, but let's just say he was Sevilla's manager still, it's very unlikely he would be West Ham manager now. Very unlikely. And I think this is where we are getting held back, by taking cheap options. And it's the same with our academy players. You know, we're giving them not the contracts that they arguably deserve nowadays because because of what happened with Reece Oxford. I mean, you could argue David Sullivan has been proven right. You know, he wouldn't give one to Ashby, he wouldn't give one to Perkins, he wouldn't give one to Ngakia, and none of those three have come back to haunt us yet. So you could say David Sullivan knows what he's doing. There's an argument either way. But ultimately, you have to accept that the finances are the main reason behind this deal, if it happens. I mean, it's not 100% confirmed yet. Things could change last minute. Like, we'll just put that caveat in there. But it does appear by all sources. I mean, I was told 2 days ago that it was pretty much a done deal, that they would talk to other managers and do their due diligence. But it seems like it is a done deal from all accounts. You know, you don't get Fabrizio, David Ornstein, Jacob Steinberg, myself, Sean, all hearing the same thing with it being wrong. Although the club haven't actually officially confirmed it or not. You know, there's a reason this story is coming out.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure the bookies will be not taking bets on that anymore. That's for sure. I'm going back to the Declan Rice comment. I was blown away by it, honestly. I couldn't believe he'd said that, because no good can come from it. No good can come from it. The only good that's come from him saying that is making Declan Rice feel $1 million. But that's only good for Declan Rice. Don't play for West Ham anymore. I just don't know what he was thinking. It was disrespectful to Edson Álvarez, first and foremost, who ultimately is his like-for-like replacement and actually has done well this season. So I'd be pissed off if I was Edson. And I think it's disrespectful to his defenders, that ultimately questions the quality of them as defenders. And he would have a point, because I think we're shit defensively. But that's what he's alluding to. And you're quite right when you say, you know, the defenders are also the problem. And David Moyes is the master at avoiding taking responsibility. It's always everyone else's fault all the time. And, you know, he talks about Declan Rice, and he was fantastic at doing this. He's right, Moyes. He was fantastic at doing this, Declan Rice, when it comes to protecting his defence and, in his words, stopping 50% of the attacks coming through. But if our defence were better, you wouldn't need that level of cover. Of course, that role is important in any team. But to be as exposed as we are to then constantly struggle and ship goals, it's not just purely because of Declan Rice. I mean, I think most West Ham fans, if not all of us, are happy with Alvarez coming in. But it's the defence that has just shipped goal after goal after goal. It's actually quite incredible. And his press conferences are getting worse. I don't know if he knows his time is up now and he's getting little digs and the little digs are turning into bigger digs and he's hitting the fuck it button and he's just going to say whatever he wants to say. But this is just turning into a bit of an embarrassment now. And like you said earlier on in the show, and you're right, it's actually sad that it's come to this point now. It really is. And I think it's going to be tarnishing the legacy that he's created at West Ham, which I think is even sadder. But not everyone is pointing the finger at David Moyes, X, because quite a lot of people are blaming David Sullivan for reasons that we've just alluded to as well, including our very own Tony Cotty. And for those that aren't on social media, this is what he said. Absolute joke of a board. Absolutely hung out to dry. Our third best manager ever. Publicly courting and talking to other managers who aren't as good as Moisey, in my opinion, is really poor and classless. It now seems obvious that it's time to change manager, but there are ways of doing it. Please make an announcement and give him the send-off he deserves against Luton. Yes, the team were awful today, but the worst thing about a football club is uncertainty, and the board are fully complicit in creating that since we won the cup. The circus is fully back in town, and 14 years is far too long. A change is needed at the top. I've had enough. Our loyal fans deserve so much better. What do you think of those comments?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think he's got a point. I think the whole joke of what we're West Ham has had another chapter added to it. The whole situation with the manager shouldn't be like this. You know, just off the back of a season where we've won a trophy and had moderate success this season by getting to the quarterfinals of two trophies, etc. Now, I think this season shouldn't be the negativity that it's leading to be concluded with. And I think it's just never, things are never done properly. Like, you know, Lopetegui, first of all, we speak to him. Then we decide we're going to talk to other managers. So we bring over Almiron and we talk to him and make it clear that actually Lopetegui might not be the first choice, even though it was rumoured he would be to start with. So we make all our profile on another manager who then decides that he's not going to come to us, or we're not going to pay the compensation. We then say we're going to talk to a load of other managers. Then we go back to the one that was originally said. If we did things properly, it would be David Moyes, thank you, you've done a brilliant job. Lopetegui is the guy going forward. He's our man. There you go. And it would put to bed all this like debate and this discussion. But because we're never convincing in our convictions, it gives people the chance to debate things. And therefore, we've basically said to Lopetegui, right, you're not our first choice, but we're going to take you now. Whereas it would have been so much better of just taking him. You know, like, and say, you are the main man. We've done our due diligence. Like, you keep this private. This bet, done our due diligence. He is the best we're going to get. Let's put all our eggs in that basket. And this is the guy that's convinced the West Ham fans. And this is the guy we want. Boom, here he is. And that's what they should do. But because we're always so indecisive and we do fan polls and we check out what social media is saying and we don't quite make our decision. And, you know, the club are still officially saying, I checked it before I came on air today, that no decision's been made. Now, whether that's you believe that or not, but that is the official word. So that's what the club want you to believe. So you know, what does this say? What does this say all the time? What's the point of the next two games of David Moyes? They might as well give it to Kevin Keane and let him play some young players or something. You know, like, just make a decision and be convincing. Convincing, with it. And and I think Cossie's got a point. I think there's complete indecisiveness all the time. You know, it's been made clear that Steinsen's first choice was Almiron because he wouldn't have flown him over. Why would they spend money flying over the manager, giving it the press that it was given, if he wasn't the first choice? You know? Yeah. So then now we're already admitting our manager now is at least second choice, at least that. So, you know, and that was without the German, the Stuttgart manager, saying that he didn't want to talk to us as well. So he, by process of elimination, he's like third, fourth choice. So he goes into it knowing that he's not the main choice. And this is what we do with every West Ham manager. We did it with Slaven Bilic. We did it with David Moyes the second time. You know, we did it with Pellegrini, I think. Although I think Pellegrini was a bit more first choice for a while. But, you know, we always make it clear that whoever we appoint is not the first choice manager. What's the benefit of that?
It's the fucking West Ham way, mate, and it's just craziness. And we used this word on last week's show. It's just amateur. It's amateur, and it hurts because, you know, under different ownership, this club could go so far, but we're never going to achieve what we should be achieving as a football club and unlock our true potential under these current owners. And this is the problem that we've got. I mean, going back to the managerial discussions, I mean, first and foremost, right? Maybe I'm naive. In light of the politics and in light of the fact that David Moyes is still here, in light of showing a bit of class, showing a bit of respect, even if you are undecided, I don't understand why these initial conversations to identify the interests of the managers can't be done over the phone. I don't know why they have to be flown in and publicly pictured as having discussions with West Ham for the likes of David Moyes to see. Yes, of course, you know, you can do so much groundwork over the phone. And then when David Moyes leaves the football club, then fly him over and then just finish off your discussions. You know, and I don't also know why he's having discussions with managers that he knows if he is going to offer them the job will cost him money. He's wasting everyone's fucking time if that is an issue. He's just so backward in the way he fucking works.
I know. And you know what, though? So much of it, though, mate, is a media game, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest, where David Sullivan and David Gold made their money was from selling sex, right? So let's be brutal. That is how they made their money, yeah? And then they made their money through the Daily Sport, and they made their money through property. So you've obviously advanced their businesses over time. But initially, so that in order to make money, they've got to sell their product. They've got to make it seem the best product that there is, make it the product that everyone wants, and glamorize the whole thing, right? So by flying over this big manager from Portugal, the most up-and-coming manager in the world, pretty much, it looks good to West Ham. Look, because we can say, look, we tried to get him over. He ended up staying at Sporting. Compensation was maybe too much, but he didn't want to leave Sporting. But look, that was our top target. And, you know, if Lopetegui doesn't work out, well, look, we should have had Almiron. We just couldn't get it over the line. Oh, we wanted to get the Stuttgart manager, but oh, look, we just couldn't get him because he signed a new deal and blah, 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 blah. We do this with players, mate. How often are we linked with players that we just don't sign? You know, oh, we're going to sign this player, but we don't. I just think so much of it is a PR game. And how much Almiron would have been actually coming to us, I don't know. And David Sullivan, as I say, I'm not writing him off. I don't think he's done a terrible tenure as our chairman. I think if you look at the evidence, some of the things you can say, the club have progressed massively. And this appointment might be a good one. He might get it right. To be fair, he's got other things right. None of us wanted David Moyes the second time, really. And look what happened there. So he may get this right. But I do think a lot of what West Ham do is me. I don't think Lopetegui is that Bayern Munich are interested in Lopetegui. I think they might maybe have him on a list, but the fact that they want to interview him and stuff, I think that's been pushed by West agents related to Lopetegui. I know these things because I'm involved in the business. But the agents contact me and ask me to put things out about their candidates and about their players. Half the time, I don't know if they're true, which is why I don't put them out. And this is why, at the moment, my relationship with the people that are putting this story out about Lopetegui to the likes of Fabrizio and David Ornstein isn't as strong. I can get my stuff from other people, and that's why my updates have been accurate, but they're getting their stuff from the people that are putting this stuff in out there, because they're contacting them as the biggest sort of ITKs in the business sort of thing. And that's where the story comes from. It's all games, and that's what football is at the moment. Media games, really, and all those people that say the likes of X shouldn't be able to get this information and stuff. It's a load of bollocks, because this information will go to anyone, because that's what people do. They actively seek these people out. In my emails this morning, I've got two agents telling me that West Ham want to sign their players. I haven't had the chance to look them up yet and work out whether there's any truth in it or not, but in my emails this morning I have, and I'm not going to say who they are because I don't know if it's true or not, because I've not checked it out. But that's what I do, which is different. I don't rely purely on agents. I rely on doing my own research, but this is what they're doing, and this is what I think the problem is. I think a lot of these stories are played in the media, and that's why. And that's the problem here. Like, and it already it tells us that he's our first choice manager.
Wow. Do you know what? Only West Ham can win a European trophy, then be in what feels like a mini crisis immediately after.
Yeah, this is what we are, mate. It's just that, and this is why being. What we do, me and you, as podcast hosts, and you know, take out my ITK side of it. Let's just put me as a fan that appears on a podcast every week, at least once a week. It's good for us because there's always something to talk about. Always. Because things with West Ham are never plain sailing, and they never will be until we get a different ownership, because it's the way the ownership's done. And as I say, like, as much as I love it, how many chairmen speak as freely into papers and to other people as ours do? It's great. It's great because we can get information, we can feel in the know. And as I say, I'm not saying they've done a terrible job here, but it's very different to how other clubs are run. You know, agents play a massive part in everything, but agents play a big part in West Ham. Agents have a lot of say at West Ham. And they have done in this manager appointment as well.
Well, it's Luton Town on Saturday on what is our final home game of the season, a game that could relegate the Hatters. Are we going to win?
Who knows, mate? Who fucking knows? I don't have a bloody clue. It depends, like, on a lot of things. It depends on whether he changes the team. I personally would put three youngsters in. I would put Casey at centre-back alongside Zuma and just say, go on, show us what you've got to do. At the end of the day, Luton, you could basically bracket as a championship team, so you want to see how well he can do against that sort of competition. I would put him in. What have you got to lose? The defence has just shipped, 12 goals in the last three games. Stick him in. I would put Lewis Orford in midfield. I would either take out Souček, probably Souček, and put Lewis Orford in midfield and just say, go out there, just get on the ball, play it around. And I'd put George Earthy in the team, and I would either take out Paquetar, or I would take out one of the other central midfielders and have him and Orford together. I don't know, but I would make those three changes, and I would sell them to go out there and make their mark. I think that puts a different spin on the game. I think the fans would be a lot more positive going into that. If they think, oh, look, he's actually given the academy lads a chance. I would give those three the chance. I would say, go out there, play your game. I would have their replacements on the bench in case things don't go to plan. Although I'm confident those three would be able to hold their own. And then we just attack it and say we've got nothing to lose here. It's a nothing game for us. We're not going to qualify for Europe now. We're not going to get relegated. At the end of the day, just go out there and play some good football. Let's finish on a high and hopefully give David Moyes a decent send-off. And if we can do that, then in theory, we should beat them.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, mate. It's an absolute no-brainer. It's such a good opportunity to give them some much-needed experience. I mean, another reason I was pissed off with the Chelsea game is, why didn't he bring them on then when the game's dead and you've got nothing to play for? Just give them that experience. Let them feel what it's like in a game like that, because it's all character building, and it's all experience. It all adds to your game. And you know, when I look at that and I see an aging left back in Aaron Creswell coming on that doesn't even want to be here. Bless him, I love Cres, we all do. But why is he coming on over a youngster that could be the future of West Ham? It just doesn't make sense, and it is an ongoing issue with David Moyes, one of many, unfortunately. But look,
I actually think it's one of the reasons, one of the ultimate reasons it's cost him. You know, take it, playing youth players is a gamble. It really is. And we know that. And to the credit of West Ham, we haven't really, so far, had it come back and haunt us. We thought losing Ngakia was going to be big. He's still struggling to get into Watford's team. Perkins and Ashby. Ashby went on loan to Swansea. I think did all right there. Perkins, I think, is on the way out of Leeds. You know, none of them have gone on as far. Josh Cullen, maybe, plays for Burnley. But, you know, there's none really that have gone on and proven to be the one that we should have kept. Even Dean Garner and others. Nathan Holland, you know, he's not even getting in Forest Green's team now. Like, you know, none of them have really gone on and done it. However, this is a different crop of youngsters. This is a team that have got the fact that they've won trophies in the league and have seen their comparables at Liverpool get first team football and other clubs get first team football. We're not even saying play all of them. We're saying, you know, Callum Marshall went to West Brom and he didn't get into West Brom's team. So there's an argument still to say that Moyes has got it right. But even just by putting them in for like 5-10 minutes here and there, you know, having them on the bench, having them come in 5-10 minutes, when you're 5-0 down, even if they don't then go on to make it, it appeases the fans, because this, we are the academy for a reason. So it buys in the name of what we've got. We are an academy for the reason. It makes fans more like, oh yeah, he's trying youth. It puts minutes in their tank. So if you do then decide they're not good enough, well, you can say, well, they've got 10 games in the Premier League, so therefore they've got more value than they would have if they'd had none. And it also shows academy players that there is a route to the first team. And if they go on and prove themselves to be good enough, they will get their chance. I think of all the things that David Moyes has done wrong in his tenure at West Ham that have come back to haunt him, in my opinion, that would be the biggest one.
Do you think it would be different in terms of the opportunities he's given to the academy players if he was on a longer term contract?
It's a good question, mate, and that makes you a very good host, because that is a good question.
Thank you very much.
Because that is exactly the alternative argument. Had he been put on a longer term contract where success was over a period of time, then perhaps he would have been more willing, but he was always under the pressure that he had to deliver immediately, because he knew that his contract was constantly up for renewal. And this is why I wanted West Ham to build into a project. And I don't like the word project, because it makes it sound like you're allowed to fail at times. But with a younger manager like McKenna, for example, 37, if you'd brought into someone like that, it would give them the chance to think, yeah, actually, 3 years' time, I need George Earthy to be a Premier League regular. Whereas David Moyes would be thinking, you know what, I don't care. I need success right now. Maxwell Cornet has delivered in the Premier League for previous clubs, whereas these lot haven't. So I need to go Maxwell Cornet, even though he clearly doesn't rate Maxwell Cornet. I mean, that's got to be another ridiculous part of David Moyes' management. I mean, what the hell was that all about? Signed him, got a calf strain, and we never ever play him, even though he's made the odd contribution when he gets his chance. You know, it's just bizarre, and I do believe the lack of forward planning with West Ham is always our Achilles heel. You know, the lack of long-term strategy is always what holds us back. We were told, I'm getting the hiccups now, I'm getting so passionate. We were told we were going to do a Red Bull model. That was what we were told 2 or 3 years ago. Where's the evidence of this Red Bull model? You know, we were told we were going to be signing young players from the Championship and lower that we would then develop. I mean, all right, we have signed players from the Championship like Gerard Bowen, but this summer, who did we sign? We signed a player, yes, from Southampton that were Championship, but late 20s. I thought it was a good signing, but certainly not young. Alvarez and Kudos, good signings, but from abroad, Mavropanos. From abroad, you know, then Calvin Phillips, massive wage and already, you know, or the decline in his career. So what is our strategy in terms of recruitment? You know, we brought in Kingston's brother, and we brought in another guy from Germany to be part of the recruitment team. And, you know, but what's the strategy there? We already had a decent recruitment team in the club anyway, because we'd already brought those players in before we'd done that. So what's the strategy with recruitment? Do we even know? Is Tim Stuyton happy here? Is he happy with the appointments he's made? I just think there's always just a lack of clear decisiveness with what we're trying to do in life, and therefore when, and I don't mean this as a dig at you, mate, I mean this as a constructive comment, when the likes of you and others say we should be a top four team or a top six team or whatever, I find it hard to entirely buy into that when we don't have a clear strategy of what, where we should be.
Yeah, it's a fair comment. It's a fair comment. And I think that's the key word, strategy. With different owners that get it and they get the right people and they're not as controlling. Because this is the other thing as well. David Sullivan is so set in his ways, and he is, I think, a self-confessed control freak. He handles absolutely all elements within a football club, or has done up until recently, until the likes of Tim came in. And I think even then he might struggle at times to give him some of the responsibility he needs in the role. And I just think, you know, what's key within a successful football club is strategy, is using different people, the right people in different roles, different experts applying their knowledge to their given role rather than one person just being the puppet master. And I think this is going to be a real issue. It really is. It's always going to stop West Ham from really kicking on, which is the heartbreaking thing. What do you think the atmosphere is going to be like on Saturday?
Oh, I just don't know. Very, very mixed, I think, to be honest with you, because I think we all know this is going to be David Moyes' last game. So I hope at the end he comes onto the pitch when they do the little walk round and waves to the fans. I hope he gets a good round of applause and a good send-off, because for me, it is a sad ending. You know, this guy has given me some of the best times. No, not some. The best times of being a West Ham fan. I've been a season ticket since 1990, 1991. These are the best seasons I've ever experienced. And this is at a stadium that doesn't entirely feel like it's ours completely. This is with other circumstances going behind our back, like losing Mark Noble after all those years, losing Declan Rice, you know, various other factors coming into play. He has given me a trophy. I never thought I'd saw it. Mate, we were there crying in each other's arms in Prague. You know, like,
steady
because
on.
We never missed it. You know, we've done emotional bits about it because we never thought we'd see it. And you know, it was on the back of a terrible year for you with what you went through with your dad and stuff. And you know, it was just an accumulation of just so much emotion of like West Ham built up, and he delivered that. And the year before, you know, he took us to semi-finals. You know, we beat Seville, we beat Lyon. We had those experiences. You know, we finished fifth in the league or sixth, whatever it was. You know, we had the moments with Jesse Lingard. We've had Kudos, Pakatar, Gerard Bowen. You know, it's been a good time. This is why when West Ham fans were slating him and abusing him, I found it really hard to do that. I really hope he gets the send-off he deserves, because he's done a great job for West Ham. And, you know, what will be the situation in 3 months' time in December, for example, when the new season starts and we're struggling then? Will we be saying, be careful what you wish for, and we wish we hadn't have wished for this? Who knows? I hope that doesn't happen. I really do hope that doesn't happen. And I do accept it's time for him to move on now. But we have to look back on this time as the most best it's been as recent times. And I do hope that it's not the only time that's been good. I do hope we look back and we say, yeah, he did well. It was right for him to move on, because look where we are now. That's what I pray happens. Of course, that's the benefit of hindsight, but I hope he gets a great round of applause, and I hope he gets the send-off he deserves, mate. I do.
Yeah. I mean, I heard something interesting, and it is actually from quite a reliable source, but I haven't had this double confirmed. But I heard that at full time, he intends to do two laps around the pitch doing wanker signs at the fans. Now, I don't know how concrete that is.
Harvey would respect that. Harvey would respect that. And actually, big fair play. Go on, boy. I mean, it would be quite fitting in some ways. Not to all fans, because a lot of fans have, you know, called his tenure correctly. But those that have just absolutely abused him from day one, I think he's probably justified in doing that.
Well, everything seems quite depressing at the moment, so we pulled out the stops to get some words of encouragement from first team player and one-time Hammer of the Year, Thomas Souček.
Everything will be okay.
Calling all West Ham fans, are you a patron of the West Ham way? If not, why not? For the price of a pint, you get top quality content on a daily basis, to include the famous West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X, over 100 interviews with ex-players and celebrity fans, Mad Dog Bites with Martin Allen, a show with Tony Cotty, the U Irons podcast, the West Ham Way USA, a transfer window show with Demis Chef, and expert pre-match analysis. There are virtual events with ex-players, written articles, match day discussion, away day burger reviews, in-depth match reports, and if you want to be the first to get reliable, accurate, exclusive news on all club affairs, you'll get exactly that from the best ITK in the business, ex-West Ham United employee. All that and more delivered to your phone for a fiver a month. It's the daddy.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.